After many years, civil war in Liberia finally came to an end in 2003. More than 30,000 women and girls served with the various fighting forces involved. And now that the war is over, many of those female ex-soldiers are jobless, lack decent housing, and are struggling to put the pieces of their lives back together. With me now for today's Underreported are two of those former soldiers, Jackie Redd and Florence Bala. Also here is Tanya Burnett, a Liberia expert for Amnesty International, and I'm very pleased to welcome them all to the show. Hi.
Hi.
And Tanya, can you give us some background on Liberia's 14 or so years of civil war for listeners who might not be all that familiar with the country's recent history?
Sure. The war started in 1989. And as you said, it was 14 years. And there was really two wars. One was from 1989 to 1997, when Charles Taylor came to power. And then the war restarted in 99, and it ended in 2003, when he was exiled to Nigeria. And it was quite a brutal civil war. Around 250,000 people were believed to be killed, and a lot of the country was displaced.
Jackie, at what point did you become involved? We'll get into the story of how what happened later, but was it early in the Civil War history?
Yes. It was 1990 when the war hit Monrovia, the capital of Liberia, and everybody started leaving the capital city and finding place to survive. And I had left the capital on my way to look for Safawa, our cutter.
So just a year after the war began, you got caught up in it.
It was in the same year. It was in after the year, but it was 1990.
And what about you, Florence?
Florence got caught up with the war. She got involved with the war when her parents were killed. Right in her presence, at the border of Guinea and Liberia. They call the place Tekpemlo. So when I had a terrible experience and I was sexually abused, so I decided to take the challenge. But I was not really a trained soldier, but I make my way through whenever I'm bothered with any ambush or
But that was also in the first civil war?
No, during the first civil war, at the time, I was staying with my parents. When the tribal war was going on, I was living with my parents at the time from 1990 to 1992. My parents died 1993, December the 20th.
Now, Tanya, as you said, the first civil war ended when Charles Taylor came to power. You would have thought that would have established some stability, but if anything, it just led to chaos, didn't it?
Yeah, the period when he was ruling, there was a lot, impunity reigned. Peace never really came to Liberia during that period. And then a lot of people were unhappy that he was in power, and that's why the war restarted.
Human rights groups have accused him of being at the center of much of the recent conflict, not only in Liberia, but throughout West Africa. What did he do to earn his reputation as a brutal leader?
Well, currently he's on trial for crimes he committed in Sierra Leone. He's currently in The Hague, at the special court for Sierra Leone, they're trying him there for security reasons.
Was he the only rebel leader in the first civil war, or have there always been any number of competing groups?
No, there was a good number of factions. Florence and Jackie could tell you a little bit about those.
Well, Jackie, you were with Charles Taylor's group, weren't you?
Yes.
Can you tell us about how you got caught up in it? You said that it was within the first year. You were abducted and raped by the soldiers?
Yes.
So, and how old were you at the time?
14.
And that somehow led you to become a member of the group? Did you have any choice in the matter?
Yeah, because at that time, nothing was normal. So you just have to stay in the range of that place because you don't have money to leave to go to another country. So you just have to stay in. And staying with them, you just have to be part of them to get your life moving on.
And then eventually you escaped. Was it difficult to escape?
I never have money, so I couldn't escape. It's like everybody looking at you. It's like when you already in, you cannot retreat, because if you retreat and you make a move, you'll get killed.
What had happened to your family while you were gone?
My father was killed. And later, when they have a program doing, I think if I'm not making a mistake, 91, 92, when Bill Clinton have the resettlement and they started taking Liberian people, other people that had the chances to fly into another country, and they was taken to America for resettlement. And I heard my mom what it was to get into America.
Hmm. Your father was killed by the same people who had abducted and raped you?
Yes.
It must have been terrible being with those people.
It was terrible, but as a person, and you don't have no means in being a child, you just have to stay.
And this is Charles Taylor's group?
Yes.
So he was the leader. Did you have any connection to him? Did you know him?
I know him, but I don't know deeply about him.
My guests are Jackie Redd and Florence Bala, who are two people who were women soldiers in the two civil wars that Liberia has undergone over the past 14 years or so. Also here is Tanya Bernath, who is with Amnesty International. This is WNYC, WNYC.org. I'm Leonard Lopate. And Florence, you were not with the Charles Taylor group. You were with another group?
I was with the Urimo group.
And
Urimo.
What?
It was these same guys that did that thing to me. They really abused me. But I had no alternative but to just follow on, because if I were going to refuse, I was going to be killed like my parents were killed. So I have to make my way through.
Were all the women who were abducted by these groups automatically raped?
Majority. Because that's the only way they feel they could make life easier for themselves at that time. We experienced that soldiers' men were taking drugs. They were living on nasty drugs. Because of this, their sexual emotion was really high up. And when they catch up with you, surely they are going to play.
And five of the women that you were with when you were abducted were raped, and the two who resisted were killed.
Yes.
So there really was no choice in the matter.
They were ready to kill.
How old were you at the time?
I was 13.
13?
Yeah.
And how long did you remain with Urimo?
I was with Urimo until 1997, when Charles Taylor was inaugurated on the 2nd of August, 1997. And on the 10th of August, 1997, I escaped from these guys and I found my way through until I entered in Monrovia. And then I decided to go back home.
What had your job been with the group?
I was ammo toller. We tore the ammunition behind the warriors. Mm. And we were used anytime they feel like.
So you were a porter, in effect.
Yeah.
And you also did some of the cooking?
Sure. Mm-hmm. That is just a normal thing. Once you are taking the ammunition, and when you get to somewhere where they are hungry, a hungry soldier is an angry man. So we always make sure that the food is ready and on time for them to eat.
And was Urimo fighting Charles Taylor?
Yes.
You were a competing group.
Yeah.
And then Charles Taylor won.
Yeah.
What about you, Jackie? Were you also a porter and a cook, or were you actually carrying a gun?
I carried a gun because I do wonder for anybody to rule my life, because I was already being violated. So I was already like a wounded soldier. So I feel that by handling that gun, no man going to take advantage over me.
Was it common for women to take on combat roles in the war?
It was not just common, but because they found themselves in a situation that they were raped. And any time, like, most of the guys came from in the interior part, like, where the war started from. The war started from, like, And in my country from the border, the war was like a tribal war that changed into a political war.
So these rebel groups may have started off with some kind of a tribal side to them, but then eventually they would take anybody who they could get who would fight for them.
Yes.
Excuse me. It was like once they meet you, they are not going to ask you, oh, I love you, or this and that. They are going to use this word. Join me. Hey, you, join me. Soldier, be on your feet. And you have to get ready to move forward. So that's how things were looking like.
Did you also have a gun?
Yes, I would say yes.
Fought alongside the men? Like Jackie?
No, not like Jackie. There was a little difference there because for me, I really used to be afraid because I was the only person left back. So I didn't want to really be killed. So I was always careful. But when sometimes in ambushes, you have to make your way through. So if it caused me to fire, I will fire to move.
Tanya, in speaking to other women who have gone through similar experiences, did you find out that they learned that they pretty much all had the kinds of experiences that Jackie and Florence did?
I think women played a variety of roles, and I think they've really spoken about some of them. I mean, the reasons that they I think is so interesting that they took up arms to protect themselves. And there is a statistic that says that in the Second War, there were many more women that took up arms than in the First War because of that reason. They wanted to protect themselves.
Not because they were abducted and forced to? Because it's my sense that no matter whether they were a cook or a soldier or a bodyguard, they were never free from sexual harassment and sexual violence.
That's true. I mean, surely the abduction went on. But during the second period in the Second War, there were significantly more women that were actually involved in a more active way, where they actually had thought through, I'm going to take up a gun, and I'm going to protect myself, I'm going to protect my children, I'm not letting this happen, just as Jackie described. And we did hear, we did a lot of research in Loffa County, where Florence is from, and that was commonly told to us.
Florence, did you fight in the Second Civil War as well?
No, during the Second Civil War, 2000, when the war broke up again on April 21st, 1999, and going towards 2000, when it was so difficult, when it got so hard, I thought back and I knew what happened to me. And I didn't want it to happen because I didn't want for anything to really happen to me that could cause me to stop going to school. So I fled from Vonchama, Loffa County, and I went in the city in Monrovia, and I make my way there.
And Jackie, did you stay with Charles Taylor's group, or were you able to get out as well?
I was able to get out and get on my own.
We'll take a little break, and we'll find out more what happens when people who've been through this are on their own. I'm talking with Jackie Redd and Florence Bala, who are two former soldiers in the Liberian Civil War. Also, Tanya Bernath, who is a Liberia expert for Amnesty International. Stay with us. We're back with Tanya Bernath, who is with Amnesty International, and Jackie Redd and Florence Bala, who are two of the former women who served as soldiers in Liberia's civil wars. We're talking about their experiences and what has happened since as part of our underreported series. In the Amnesty International documentary, Women of Liberia Fighting for Peace, some of the women were saying that in the First Civil War, women had to learn to arm themselves. So in the Second Civil War, they were able to better protect themselves. Did you find that to be true?
Yeah. As we were saying earlier, just because of the level of violence that women experienced, and they knew that when the Second War started, they didn't want to have that same experience. One of the ways that they could prevent it was to take up arms.
And a woman in the documentary says that Liberian women are very strong. Were they always very strong, or is that because of the things that they've had to endure over the past 15, 20 years?
I think it would be good for Jackie to answer that.
Do you think all Liberian women are strong, or is this something that's been forced on them, Jackie?
I would say in the same, Liberian women are strong. Because if they were not strong, they cannot have terrible feelings. they cannot experience, they cannot psychological problem they pass through. I, for one, I could like maybe say, oh, I think life is so frustrating and let me just go on. But I decided to take a strength because why? I have that strength and that courage and other women. That's what make us to come up boldly to do this documentary. Mm-hmm. Because if we're not strong and brave, because we want this documentary to serve as a deterrent to other war-torn country, the more you come up and tell your story, the more freely your mind would be.
But in many cultures, women telling the kinds of stories that the two of you tell gets them, they're chased out of the village that they grew up in. They become pariahs in their communities, even though they are victims.
Yes, but that's why we're trying to make them to understand it wasn't our will. Let it look at the age that some of us find ourselves to pick a gun. It was the first time in history, in my country, as a child, to see people have been shot by the wayside. Like, time I was traveling before, I could get captured and be a woman for a group of rebels. My friend, that everyone else was traveling, she was shot, and she died. But what I could do, I couldn't do anything. I couldn't bury her. Gun was shooting. So maybe it could be me, nice. So I just have to carry on.
This is something that has to be very difficult for a child to deal with. Florence, you were 13 when you were abducted, and suddenly you're seeing people die, people being killed.
So terrible. Like the first time I saw a body, I was standing, and this guy, they cut his throat. They hold his face and just call it. When the guy said, kill him, within 5 seconds, the guy's whole neck was open. And where I was, it was like I was taking, my spirit went out of me completely, and I was off for a few times. So another thing I saw was that a pregnant woman was pregnant, and we all was traveling along the road. And this lady, she got into labor pain. But we had nothing to do. We had no nurse. We had no drugs. So this lady was pursued by a Boko Strutter. The Boko Strutter pursued this woman up to the place she went. And they had a tree there. And she just went and lied between the roots of that tree, waiting for her death. But God was there for her one way or the other. And she was able to give birth to twins. And then she was so thirsty. After a woman have finished giving birth, you need to relax. But there was no way for her to relax. So she had to go and fetch for water because we were after another thing. And after she went to go look for the water, just to find out that the Boko Strutter had just arrived to the place she has just given birth. And then the Boko Strutter was able to swallow up those two children and still pursued the woman to eat up the woman. And then while the Boko Strutter met this woman, it was like everybody was going scattered because we were all afraid. You see, the Boko Strutter, it was very huge and big. And then going towards this woman, and the woman was escaping. And I saw this woman, you know, bleeding. She had no strength to move. So
she just given birth to children.
So while going, and she just saw a net. It just came down, and it dropped on her Boko Strutter. And there was a living creature that looked like a dude. We have an animal in Liberia that have a very sharp mouth and a long nose, but a small mouth. Those animals, they are very terrible. They came out of that net, and they were able to consume that Boko Strutter, and that's how every one of us were saved. Maybe if that woman were going to be swallowed, we were going to be the next people. So
both
these
of
are
you,
things
you,
that really make my mind.
You have a child?
Yes, I have two kids. I have two boys.
Were they born while you were fighting or afterward?
Okay. One of my son, to admit, is not really my husband's son. It was during the time of rape, when I was got pregnant with this child. I hated this pregnancy. I even tried to abort this pregnancy because I didn't want to have that child at all. But I tried and I tried, and there was no way. And I was able to bring forth this child. And right now, this child is living with me. Sometimes I feel so terrible. Sometimes I feel very bad. I really wonder how am I going to relate this story after making this child to get used to my husband that I'm married to right now. I make him to understand that this is the situation. He knows my whole life story. I didn't really hide it. But this child doesn't know that this guy is not his father. How am I going to relay that story? Yeah. I still continue to think about it.
How old is he now?
He is 11. September 7 maybe will be making him 12.
What about you, Jackie?
After 17 years or so, I'm like going to 18. Mm-hmm. He will be graduating this year.
And was he born while you were with Charles Taylor? I mean in the Charles Taylor
group.
He
was born 1990 when his father was killed.
The amazing thing is that when I said women are strong, women, because we've done shows on this in the past, women have played a major role in bringing down Charles Taylor, haven't they? And then, of course, now the president of Liberia is a woman as well. Is Liberia a unique country in Africa, do you think?
Well, certainly because it's the first female that's president, and there's nothing else like that, as you know. But yeah, women have played a significant role in Liberia, and women hold a large number of leadership positions there. But as you can see, there's so many there's so much destruction that war brings, and you see about the consequences of all this sexual violence. I mean, the rates of women were raped are it's not known precisely, but it's high numbers, and you see the consequences, and those are the kinds of things that Amnesty International is trying to also look at. That's part of the reason that we wanted to do this film, is to really look at the consequences and try to, you know, help assist women in addressing some of these concerns, some of these psychological concerns, some of the medical health care, and getting themselves back on their feet.
Well, we have, just in this conversation, one child whose father was killed as part of the war, and in another case, a child who's born as a result of rape, and that child doesn't know the circumstances of his birth, and there's working things out with a new husband. These are the sorts of things that are very difficult to deal with. Are there any psychological services being made available to these 30,000 women who were caught up in this terrible turmoil?
Well, after the war, there was a program that is for people, men and women, who, you know, it's a disarmament demobilization program and reintegration program. And one of the concerns about the program was that there wasn't enough psychosocial counseling. Not enough psychosocial counseling for the men. And as a result, there's still lots of rapes going on, and there's not enough psychosocial counseling for the types of things that you've been hearing for the women.
Because not only were young women caught up in this, but young men who only know lives of violence. They were 12, 13 years old, abducted, given guns, and suddenly the war ends, and they're told, okay, now you could go back to normal life. Tell us about how the UN's DDRR process went.
Yeah, I mean, the research that we carried out primarily in the north of the country, in Lofa County, where there was a lot of fighting there, and it was also probably the most difficult area, the last to become safe and that sort of thing. And there were a lot of people that didn't participate in the DDRR.
That is disarmament, demobilization, reintegration, and repatriation.
Rehabilitation also. Yeah, that's the final. And what these programs, if people are lucky to participate in them, what they provide is a way forward for people. You know, you can get a free education, you can get skill training, and that's a lot of the things that now we're advocating for. There's also one thing that Amnesty International is doing now, and this is part of the reason that we're doing this advocacy in New York and Washington, is that there's an International Violence Against Women Act that the Congress, it's up in Congress in September. And what it is it would provide these kinds of services to women in places like Liberia specifically, like microcredit, skill training, you know, strengthening the judicial system, those kinds of things that you know, when you talk to women, those are the things that they're asking for. So this is something that we're really hoping that will get passed, and it's something that can, we believe, can really help women in post-conflict situations, especially women who were sexually violated, because we know that women are less likely to seek out services, but if they're targeted through these kinds of programs, they're much more likely to be able to, you know, to reintegrate and rebuild their lives and take care of their children, as, you know, Jackie and Florence are doing.
My guests on today's underreported segment are Tanya Burnett, who's a Liberia expert for Amnesty International, and two former soldiers, child soldiers, Jackie Red and Florence Bella. What sorts of services were you given after the war ended, Florence?
I was not given any service or services. I did not benefit from what I needed to benefit from, that is the DDR program. Mm-hmm.
So would you have liked to have been able to have some psychological help?
No, it did not happen that way, because you have to get going to disarm before. When you enter the cantonment site, then you go on during that. But even when we're talking about psychological problems, these things were not really attempted to. These children, they were not really demobilized. They were not reintegrated. Because don't tell me that a child that have been frightened maybe from 7, 8, 10, I mean, let's say from 9, 10, 11, 12, up to 15 years old, and then this child been fighting from his childhood days up to his teenage or maybe above 25.
And never went to school, never had a normal childhood, didn't play with other kids?
No way. That was not possible. So in that case, you will not tell me that you are able to demobilize and reintegrate this person just within 2 weeks. So that was not really done properly.
Jackie, what about you?
The same thing too, because our life before they started calling for the DDR, and I was seeing having so you have to have earned before. Now it's terrible because the DDR program never work the way that it's supposed to work. Because a child, a 14 years old child, who just came on, no schooling, no different experience, but just came up and just brought up with an arm and took her arm and started fighting and started, like in the street of Monrovia now. 7 hours of the night, you cannot stay in the street and hang your bag on your shoulder. You cannot have your phone in your hand and communicate. Because why? They are hungry. They are traumatized.
These are the former soldiers who have nowhere to go and nothing to do.
Nowhere to go. Because they were not traumatized. They are still traumatized. They are not de-traumatized. These men, they need to restart the program. The program will be a great help to Liberians. Meaning that we're not focusing on Liberians alone. UN should look at it wisely before carry on a DDR program in other countries. They should do a survey. They should link with the generals and our commanding the children. Then they will get a real role to play in the DDR process, because it was a great mistake that happened in my home.
Well, the two of you seem to have pulled yourselves together. How do you think that is? Is it just because you're exceptional people?
Because everybody have a different mind. Everybody can readjust themselves in a better way. I see people moving around. I see other people and look at them and say, oh, but if the person can be there, I can make my own life. But others don't have that experience all I won't think, say, oh, I can make it. But that's why we are fighting to get that support. Maybe through or in our foster, as long we go along, they were able to be changed too.
Tanya, you've seen a lot of the women who are involved. Are these two women extraordinary?
Absolutely. Well, I spoke to a lot of women in putting this film together, and these are the ones that really, you know, that I was drawn to, and they are exceptional people. And I love for Jackie and Florence to share their dreams.
They can't, unfortunately. We have run out of time. But the film is called Women of Liberia Fighting for Peace. And how can people see that?
There's actually a screening tonight at the 92nd Street Y in Tribeca at 7 p.m. And it's, you know, it's free and there'll be refreshments. And
I thank you all so much for being with us, Tanya Bernath of Amnesty International and Jackie Redd and Florence Bella. It's been a pleasure talking to you.